Welcome to the Center for Internet Security's podcast, Cybersecurity Where You Are. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we are at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or even running a state or local government. Join CIS's Sean Atkinson and Tony Sager as they discuss trends and threats, ways to implement controls and infrastructure, explore best practices, and interview experts in the industry. We are here to bring clarity to these complex issues to bring confidence in the connected world.
Hello and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by Charity Otwell. And Charity, we have something very, very exciting to talk about today. The release of version 8.1 of the critical security controls. So Charity, great to have you back on the show. Why don't you do a quick introduction, and then there's a few topics that I want to hit on with the version 8.1.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me on again. Super happy to be here. I'm Charity Otwell, Director of Critical Security Controls here at the Center for Internet Security. And yes, we are going to talk about one of my very favorite topics today. So I can't wait to get started.
Wonderful. So Charity, I just want to start this episode off with a topic that is near and dear to our hearts, and that's governance and the introduction of governance in version 8.1. So we've got version 8.1 coming out, you know, in the next several weeks. So let's start with what can representatively control adopters expect to see with version 8.1?
So we've been talking about governance and how that should be represented to our communities for some time now. So as you know, the controls and safeguards are technical and tactical by design, and we certainly want to continue that quality. So the evaluation of a new, albeit minor, release certainly took some time, and we feel like this is the right time. So NIST just released CSF, the Cybersecurity Framework 2.0, which adds in a govern security function. If you're familiar with the security functions before, the identify, detect, protect, all of those, and we've certainly aligned to those in the controls documentation itself. So we looked at that governance function, and while we did not base our decision solely off of the NIST release, it did encourage it, right? So it encouraged our decision as we remain in proactive coexistence with our industry partners. So it's also a topic that's been brought up in the communities many times, you know, and with my, and we've talked about this at length, Sean, with my background being firmly rooted in governance, not only is this very exciting, but it's critically important. You know, I can personally attest to how daunting governance and risk can be to our technologists, but I can also personally attest to how mission critical a solid foundation of governance can bring to any cybersecurity program. Spending around 18 years in the financial services industry, which is heavily regulated environment, our regulators were increasingly interested in governance functions of the program, such as policies, organizational structures, centralized processes. So this directive to go forth with 8.1 was more of a gift, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to do just I'm going to provide a thought, Charity, on why governance now. I'm going to say because you're here, you're directing this. And I think as you see the evolution of the controls and those that are leading them, right, the predecessor before you, Phyllis Lee, and, you know, Tony as the originator, seeing those different elements come into play and really your experience, your take on why the controls are so important and why they need to adapt to modern compute environments, absolutely fascinating. And again, we've had many a discussion enthralling in terms of governance, why, alignment to risk, an underlying control, the need for the compliance element to bring in an oversight element, as it were. And I think it's so important that we have that in play. And again, your leadership in the space through that direction, seeing the alignment with the CSF, I think is critically important. And again, I think it just puts your signature on the history of the controls, as it were, as to this is the right time. Because ultimately, and you know, obviously I'm a big into the governance side of things as well, is that it's needed because I think it puts the holistic approach to the reason for the control, and then also really the assessment of controls over time. And I think that's an important element, Charity. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, again, compliment your leadership in this space and why I think governance now is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. Thank you for that, Sean. I really hope so. It's something that I'm very, very passionate about. I've lived it, you know, I've been on the other side of it. I've led a best practice charge for almost 20 years now. We've definitely seen evolution of governance and modernizing. And I think it's very important that you talked about the why of the control or the best practice recommendation and how we continue to evolve with technology and with the emerging threats, you know, to continue to stay relevant and provide the best guidance for our users to be able to properly defend against these attacks, as well as show compliance, which is also extremely important, and really ease of use, right? For, you know, a lot of times your regulators or your internal auditors, any examination body, a lot of times one of the first questions that they ask is directly around governance, whether they frame it that way or not, you know, around your policies, what's published, what's your processes, what is your organizational structure. So I think the time is definitely now, and I couldn't be more excited to be part of the CIS team and being able to lead the charge on that. So, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So I also think, and again, it leads me to believe, again, this is again, just coming from my own perspective, is that with the governance element added, I think it leads to greater integration across multiple frameworks, right? I can't go really a podcast without using Tony's Fog of More line, but I think this helps track through that fog in terms of then building governance. Because you know, you've seen attempts at governance through multiple frameworks, right? And I think here with the operationalization of the controls and now the governance element, I think that really then tracks to a greater alignment amongst multiple controls, but really having the critical security controls, 8.1 as a foundational element, I think enhances both the capabilities of what the controls will provide an organization, but then also allow them to then look at these other governance structures that have kind of been in the ether, as it were, when it came to the controls, are now integrated. You have what I'll call a more complete set of control capabilities, asking that reason why, but also answering that question with this type of capability, I think is critically important. And again, I just wanted to reflect that to you, Charity, and just to get your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the controls that have already incorporated governance, you just may not have known it if you didn't know what you were looking for, right? You know, you've got 4.1, which is a secure configuration process, you know, or 3.1, which is establish and maintain a data management process. So we're already talking process. We're already talking policy. And so I really think that the 8.1 release with that governance element is going to put the bigger picture together for you holistically. You know, you and I keep saying that word, and it's so important, right? That, you know, the controls are designed to provide that end-to-end comprehensive program, right? Even IG1, which is going to be your essential cyber hygiene with the 56 controls, they are truly designed to be end-to-end and provide your governance, which inputs, you know, to your risk management strategy, as well as your defense. So, the 8.1 release is an improvement, and also going to be very easily followed because the controls were already written in that way.
Exactly. Exactly. It seems a natural progression. And I think even in some cases, Charity, the way I'll frame it as well is some people just need to see the word governance in order to understand governance exists.
Absolutely.
Within the controls, right? As a natural progression. So wonderful. Wonderful. That's awesome. So Charity, a question between 8.0 and 8.1. Now, 8.1 being what we would consider a minor release, but what are the differences that you would call out for control adopters?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've gotten that question a lot, because anytime that there's a new release with anything, with any version, you know, what does this mean to me, right? What kind of churn is this going to mean? Even to our GRC tool vendors that, you know, have the controls integrated into their products, you know, what does this mean to them as well? So version 8.1 is an iterative update to 8.0. 8.0 was released in May of 2021. As you and I know very well, a lot has changed in those 3 years. So as part of our process to evolve the controls, we establish design principles every time we do a release, right? That they guide us through the minor or major updates to the document. So our design principles for this revision are context, clarity, and consistency. So context enhances the scope and practical applicability of safeguards by incorporating specific examples and additional explanations, right? So clarity aligns with other security frameworks, right, that we just mentioned before, to the extent practical while preserving the unique features of the CIS controls. So consistency maintains continuity for the existing CIS controls user, ensuring that little to no change due to this update. So, you know, that's one of the biggest things that I always leave with folks when talking about 8.1 is this is a minor update, right? So what I mean by that is, we also decided that there would be no changes to the safeguards themselves. So where they sit in the prioritized list and any movement within the implementation group. So there is none of that. So that should assure our communities that while this is an excellent enhancement to the controls document, there are no major changes. So every control and safeguard, while there are, you know, like I mentioned before, there's some description changes, some clarity revisions that we thought were necessary as we've evolved over time, the intent and the overall best practice recommendation has not changed at all.
Wonderful, wonderful. Because I remember, I'll go back to 7.1 to 8, and there were some obviously needed changes in that space. The biggest, you know, in my mind, 20 to 18, right? Because, you know, it had the top 20 moniker for many, many years, in, you know, from its generation. One of the things that I had saw and really appreciated was the service provider, you know, that integration, the need to start to identify that there is a shift in between control responsibility. Ultimately, this element of governance as well has, you know, that shared responsibility model, the shared governance requirements are very, very important. And I think that's indicative of, you know, how the controls have maintained such a viable necessity, as it were, in my mind. So one of the things, and the reason I, you know, obviously I have a self-interest, foundationally, you know, I'm a control user for the past 15 years, is the alignment of those controls integrated into the governance structure that I've built on top of it now with this ability to abstract and move into my policy processes, the standardization of the required controls is a new shift, obviously needed, looking for, happy it's here now, that I think is going to be really, really interesting. I think in some cases, Charity, one of the things I'd like to do is another episode where we talk about now how have we integrated the controls with the governance outlay from 8.1 into our program from an 8.0 perspective. I think that may be a good minor transitional journey, but ultimately I think this is very important, even when we and we'll talk a little bit later about the potential and preview of version 9 as a major update. But I think that's interesting because these are journeys, right? That there is no destination necessarily with security. We're all on this journey and we're getting better maps. And I think that obviously the 8.1 is the new map now that's even given us new areas to explore. And I use these analogies quite succinctly because this is an exploration of integration and then combinations, as you mentioned, with other frameworks is very important. But there's also something I'd like to talk about, Charity, is the journey of the controls creation and how you and the team are on that journey. How do you determine what is part of a controls framework? You know, what makes the cut, what doesn't make the cut? How do you guys go about that?
So I feel extremely blessed that I actually got to go through this journey with the team because it was so exciting. you know. We really had a good time, and I have to brag on the controls team just a bit. You know what? We're made up of cybersecurity professionals, just like our audience, right? You know, I've got folks that, you know, are, you know, previous, you know, senior cybersecurity leaders, you know, industry best practice writers, technical writers, journalists. I've really got a great, representation of, you know, many, many different industry backgrounds, at the table to actually write these best practices and ensure that they are up to date and maintained. And, it was just such a fun process. So, one of the first things that we did, like I said, NIST didn't necessarily drive our decision to release on governance, but certainly, you know, augmented that. And we like to remain in proactive coexistence with our partners. But, you know, they put out their definition of governance. And you know, with my background being governance, that's the first thing that I wanted to look at was like, okay, well, let's see how NIST defines it. And so a couple of key words that stuck out at me, and I will not read the definition of governance from this for you today. But the one of the first paragraphs is the organization's cybersecurity risk management strategy, expectations, and policy are established, communicated, and monitored. So that stuck out heavily to me because that aligns with the COBIT framework as well, or the control objectives for IT, which is an ISACA product. So, you know, the COBIT domain for governance is evaluate, direct, and monitor. So, you know, we're all saying the same thing. So I just wanted to highlight that, you know, there's definitely some similarities amongst our industry friends. And so we, you know, we wanted to also adhere to that and see, you know, how they are leading their communities as well. So we had a really great time with this. Like I said, we actually went through the controls version 8 document line by line. So that includes all 153 safeguards and evaluated their security function. And it was really amazing because we found that, you know, I think I mentioned earlier, the controls are already holistically written to provide governance, right? You know, we have safeguards that talk about, you know, that you have to have a policy, you know, and now, you know, as we've evolved over time, we have a whole suite of policy templates. That are you know, available for download on our website. We had so many folks, well, hey, you're telling us to write a policy. We're technologists, or, you know, we don't know how to write a policy. We've never had to do that, you know. And so we already provide that, right? And then a lot of the safeguards were around process, right? Which is going to be your structure and your ability to demonstrate the repeatability of the thing that you're doing. So that is governance. So in those instances, and there were about 35 out of 153, we changed the security function to governance. So I think this is incredibly important because it provides, you know, that associated category, if you will, for users to easily identify their governing controls, right? Which is significant in an audit internally or with your examination bodies, you know, or just with your C-suite, you know, how are you providing structure and repeatability around your process? So, you know, that's often the first question that we get in an examination. So I think that this is a really great improvement. It took us about 2 months, all hands on deck, really marching towards the goal of looking at everything. We also provided a why this version in the front of the controls 8.1 release as well, where we go over, you know, what to expect. What you can, you know, assume did not happen as far as, you know, movement within the implementation groups themselves. It was very fun, very exciting, and we are happy to be able to release that hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
Wonderful, wonderful. And again, I think it's very interesting that not only are the implementers on a journey, but also the creators are on a journey as well in terms of building what makes sense in the time. This time period, and in some cases you have to be, and I'll use this term, futurist, because there is a shelf life that needs to be considered with respective controls. You know, we're not releasing these every year. There's a discernible amount of time and research, obviously, that the controls team has to go through. So it's also looking to the future of what is needed now, but also until we get to a version 9, until we get to those next versions. And you know, in between we have the minor releases, which are great, adds new definition. Obviously, this one I see as a huge enabler. And like you say, the adoption, the changing of those 35 to the governance and identifying those, I think is extremely, extremely important, because it does, as you well mentioned, Charity, this is now where adopters can say, oh, you know, I thought I was just implementing a set of security operational controls, but look at me, look what I've created here is actually an underlying governance structure that I can use for internal assessment, external assessment, auditing, attestation, certification, whatever that happens to be, in order to align to, again, respectfully, other organizations. And it's good that we, and I think, maintain pace and understand what others in the space are doing, ISECA, NIST, very, very important. You know, we're not in competition. You know, these are all done in order to make the world a safer place, right? Aligning to a set of controls that make sense, and we each have our different flavors, and that's good. That maintains some uniqueness and some innovation that we've obviously seen through the last 8 versions of the controls. Multiple innovations in the space and moving them in the right direction. So as we move in that direction, Charity. So let's say there's an organization listening now. They want to adopt the controls that they heard. They're convinced, either 8 or 8.1. What resources are going to be made available or currently available to guide their implementation?
Yeah, great question, Sean. And this is one that I'm always so excited to answer, because I'm so proud of it. And I think it's really, really amazing that CIS has done such a great job with listening to their communities, right? It's not just about the list, and I've stolen that from Tony as well. it's not just about the list, right? It's not just about the list of the controls themselves within version 8 or 8.1 or any version, right? We want the adopters to be guided, right, in their journey, right? So there's multiple different things in the ecosystem that are provided. There's actually about 115 documents that we support. In the ecosystem itself, all available for download on the CIS controls website. And that's going to be white papers. We have companion guides. We have mappings. We talked about that a little bit earlier. And so we are going to continue to do that. So all of those ecosystem content artifacts are right now aligned with 8.0, right, the most recent version. But we know that, you know, there's going to be a little bit of difference with, you know, with introducing governance into the ecosystem, and we've taken that into consideration as well. So currently the controls team is working on updating any of those companion guides, mappings, etc., that would be impacted by the release of 8.1. So we didn't just stop at the controls, right? We didn't just stop at the list. We're certainly updating our ecosystem. I can also tell you that all of the mappings will be updated to include 8.1, and we maintain a pretty impressive inventory of mappings right now that are available within our Controls Navigator. Is our product that you're able to at no cost, you know, select the frameworks that you want to see mappings to, you know, that demonstrates that compliance that is so critically important to our users as well as in this conversation. And then one other thing that I wanted to mention is to go along with 8.1, within the next several months, we are going to release a paper on governance, right? It's not going to be complicated. It's not going to be super long. You know, we're talking, you know, 1 to 2 pager on what is governance? What does that mean? You know, we'll go into, you know, the difference between, and Sean, we could host another podcast completely on this, but what's the difference between corporate governance, which is your board of directors, versus IT or information security governance? You know, how do those handshake? What does this mean with other industry frameworks? And really, what does this mean to me? How do I utilize 8.1 and show compliance and demonstrate that governance element that we have highlighted? In really a companion guide and a how-to. So that governance paper is coming out later this year, probably just within the next couple of months. We're already started on it now. And I think that aligns perfectly, you know, Sean, with maybe our follow-up episode on maybe the release of that paper and what we've seen in the community, you know, after 8.1 is released and what kind of feedback we've gotten. So, but yeah.
No, absolutely. No, I think that's great because it's again, this is just compliments to the controls team on the both the volume and velocity of this type of work that's being published consistently. And again, such a high grade of work is absolutely unbelievable in terms of what we get. And again, with the controls, it's kind of, we've published the controls, you're on your own, right? Absolutely not. You mentioned the library of resources that exist to help guide implementation, to help guide success. That is so important. I feel in some cases that, you know, controls is half the battle, right? Getting those published, getting those out there. And the other is one providing the guidance on what makes sense in terms of building capability within an organization, both for adoption, management, maintenance, governance that we've now got here, and really the monitoring. And again, compliments to you and your team. It's great work. I am obviously subscribed, reading everything that gets published in terms of adoption. And then with the governance paper, that's good too, right? Because we've got to provide our thoughts in this space, what governance means at the different levels, right? There's different interpretations, connotations of that word, and kind of setting the tone of why we really need to express our thoughts in the space, why we're adopting and managing that as part of the program of 8.1. Very important. Again, getting that feedback, and once that's published, yeah, we'll certainly do another podcast. At that time, we'll have 8.1. We'll have some thoughts and queries back to the organization about the governance introduction as part of 8.1. So it'll be another great episode. But before we finish, Charity, I'm always chomping at the bit to ask this question because I'm always interested in what your team and you are looking at. So as you've taken over the controls, as I mentioned, putting your spin, your flavor, your signature, your direction and leadership on them, any previews into version 9?
So honestly, we were kind of thinking that that would be part of this process for 8.1, you know, because a major release has got to have a tipping point. You know, we're always looking for that tipping point because if we're going to change safeguards, change the intent of the controls themselves, you know, that's going to have a major impact on our adopters, on our, you know, our vendor partners that utilize the controls as well. And with the research and especially with, you know, the Verizon Data Breach Investigations report that just came out earlier this year, it really validated that the IG1 safeguards are exactly where they need to be. So we haven't hit that tipping point yet, honestly. So we are still, you know, we have certain things that we've started evaluating, certain pieces of research that we want to track down. And, you know, listening to our communities, you know, we're starting to accumulate some requests and that we are looking into. But we have not hit the tipping point for version 9. So we're still several years out, I would say, in my opinion, you know, with especially with 8.1 coming out and this being such a great, great improvement to the controls. We just haven't hit that tipping point yet, Sean. I'm sorry. I wish I had more, but we just haven't hit it yet.
No, that's awesome. But, and I think one, you know, I've reflected on this with Tony, and it's so important to look at controls 1 and 2, you know, that those are the, how they have survived over the period of time points to the longevity, points to we're doing the right things. We're just putting different twists on the, you know, utility of technology and integration of technology, but the fundamentals are the fundamentals. They do not change. And, you know, obviously with version 7, with the adoption of implementation groups, again, another phenomenal innovation, again, leading us to 9. We're not there yet. Again, I think that's also an important point, Charity, that this is not just about the next version, the next version, the next version, and getting the velocity of that is, you know, there's time to adopt. There's time to maturate in this space in order to then be prepared to look at new versions, as it were, for adoption in the space. And I think 8.1, given its release structure, I think provides a phenomenal opportunity to start, you know, implementing the controls, but is not necessarily a detractor of moving from 8 to 8.1. I think it's a natural progression that a lot of organizations are going to see. Yeah, that this, you know, you've put us in the right direction again, you know, CIS and the controls team, we're seeing where that needs to be. And that we're, in some cases, already implementing. We just need to define it and provide that holistic view, as you mentioned, just call it out. This is governance, and you're doing it in these spaces. And here's now an ability with implementation and mapping to show where that occurs. I think that's a testament, again, both to the longevity, the structure, and also the cadence of updates in the space.
Yeah, and as a former practitioner myself, right, you know, I've lived on that side of it, of things, and had to actually put this into practice before. And, you know, I've had several many conversations with, you know, my leaders, my peers, my team on what does that really mean? And it doesn't have to be this, you know, complex additional framework, you know, oh, okay, well, we're already doing, you know, ISO, we're already doing NIST, we're already doing, you know, HIPAA, you know, insert any framework. It doesn't have to be just this additional layer of, you know, framework that you have to follow. And it doesn't have to be so complicated. You know, I think that what a lot of users will find is that they were already doing it. Maybe they just weren't calling it out in that way. And then for our new adopters, I think it's just extremely easy to understand and to follow. You know, the safeguards are already written as one ask per safeguard, which is incredibly powerful as well, to really make it as simple and as easy to follow as possible. And we've followed suit with that in 8.1. So as a former practitioner, you know, the ecosystem that is provided as well to help the doctors with their journey is just such a great job that CIS has done with that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Charity, thank you so much. Again, thank you for everything that you're bringing to the controls team, your leadership, the controls team itself. Their continued due diligence in this space is worldwide, and those effects are constant daily that we're able to protect and make the users of the respective infrastructure systems, the internet networks, protected utilizing these capabilities. So thank you so much for everything that you and the team does. Really great work. And also thank you to our audience. Thank you so much for listening. Any questions, comments, concerns, podcast@cisecurity.org. Remember to subscribe in all the usual ways. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. And with that, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show today. The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS. If you're interested in learning more about how to grow your cybersecurity program, the free tools available to help you on your journey, or to get involved with the CIS volunteer community, visit our website, cisecurity.org. Start secure and stay secure.